Hello and welcome to Go Mode, a Link to the Past randomizer podcast. I'm Timp.
I'm back and I'm Danty.
Malmo's here.
And I'm Malmo.
My goal that time was to get to it as quickly as possible, because sometimes we have a guest on and we're like doing a spiel and we're like doing small talk and we have to work our way into an intro. And it makes me so anxious the whole time. I'm just like, okay, we got to get there. They're just sitting there. We need to introduce them. So my goal this time going in was like, Malmo's here. Let's get it out of the way. You've already seen it in the title of the episode, so we all know it. So like, Malmo,
spoiler
welcome.
Alert.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for being here with us today.
Yeah, it's all my pleasure as always.
So yeah, Herf, we basically gave him the day off because of his birthday.
No.
Being here, he had some plans for that.
No, this is the drama arc. Like, obviously there's some beef between me and Herf.
Right.
And clearly we've just been avoiding each other on these episodes. And when he found out I was coming back, he was like, I'm out of here. But I think he's going to have fun with his birthday, though.
Yeah. Sorry.
I can confirm. Danty's beef looked very delicious. He posted it in the channel.
Danty and his beef. He just loves it. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Sorry, I forgot we were going to take that angle. Let me go ahead and take that again. So Herf is not here. And if you could not ask him about why he's not here in our Discord, we would all really appreciate that. Very sensitive right now, very raw to the very real
very raw, life he said.
Situation.
Raw
the beef.
Beef
is so raw. The beef, you're going to get some kind of disease if you touch this beef, let me tell you. Stay away. It's a little touch and go at Go Mode Productions these days. So Herf's taking a little bit of time off to cool his heels, and Malmo has graciously agreed to step in and be a guest host with us this time. And Malmo, very active in our Discord server and a stellar mentor tournament admin, so can speak to a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about today. So without any further ado, let's get into it. I am really excited to talk about this first item because in the last episode, for those of you who are listening, I made an offhanded comment while talking to Rick.
I can't believe you said that.
About the fact that Yuzuhara has not recently broken this game in a long time. Used to come around and develop glitches that would then get developed as part of the meta in our game, in our racing game community. And I don't think this one was Yuzuhara, but pretty much right after I said that, a new glitch was discovered. So for those of you who are not aware, this is being called the Specky Clip. And was it, Danty, help me out here. Was it discovered by Specky Specs?
So
what's the situation there?
The way I gathered, and I'm kind of speaking with intel here, Specky spent a lot of time working on this for a long time and learning how to clip into, but never thought of using the hookshot. And then the night it got posted, apparently used the hookshot and found a way to get through it. Like, and that's like insane that we found a way to get past Hammer in Swamp. And then like, it was a pretty, like the way this developed, it was a pretty unique setup, very pixel perfect, I think in some regard. And then within like, I don't know, 12 hours, I went to bed and woke up and it was literally the freest setup that ever was, which we can talk about how to do it. It was hilarious. I woke up and I'm like, well, that escalated quickly, and I just kind of like tossed my phone and was like, all right, great.
I made two text guides while it was being developed that night. And when I woke up, the video came out. I don't need a text guide. You just watch the video and you just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of like how Harrapot, like, I feel like every 3 months a new setup is like, oh no, you just go here and put the bomb there and it's totally free.
Yeah.
And you have 10 pixels to get it, you know? It's like that same kind of escalation has happened right off the bat with Specky to make it super accessible, almost free, really.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about, like, try to walk us through, for those who have like have not heard of this at all, how to do it and what it does for you?
So I'll do a brief overview and then I'm going to let maybe Malmo touch base because she's like really good at the glitch stuff.
Perfect.
So the way it is now, there's a pot. You go up the little ladder, there is a pot over to the right. If you just kind of go under the pot,
Swamp Palace, by the way.
Swamp Palace, yeah.
I don't know if we have said that yet, but yeah, Swamp Palace.
You're on the grid. Like, you can walk as far right, far down. Like, you're just right there. Face downward, place a bomb, walk left, and while facing left, hold your sword out. And while it's charging, as the bomb goes off, you walk backwards with your sword out. So Link's back is facing the bomb. You walk into it. Link bounces up, and then you can just switch to your hook shot, and where you land from the bomb, you hook, you'll go through the rail, and then you can walk downward, and then you are through the rail without having to swim around. That is the easiest way to do it, I think. And it's like, it sounds complicated. It is insane how easy it is.
Mm. Yeah. Malmo, when you found out about this, what kind of thoughts were you having?
Well, my first thought was, in Hybrid Major Glitches, Hammerless Swamp is in Logic. And this cuts out an entire trip. It's so nice. And it's very clearly legal in that rule set.
Sure.
Because it's just Hairpot. Hairpot's legal. So this is going to be legal. I mean, you can even clip through that rail using something called Fake Clippers in RMG. That's the rule set we use for the most part. So that was my first thought. It was actually posted to the Glitch channel. So I'm not sure how many people saw it at first, but it was mostly the Glitch community seeing it first, and then Racing Talk got wind of it, and then, of course, everything blew up. But I wasn't even thinking about whether it would be legal and no glitches until it reached Racing Talk.
Mm. So let's talk a little bit about the implications of this glitch. So by being able to clip through that rail, a couple of things happened there. Number one, the one time that you needed the hammer before in Swamp was to knock down that peg so that you can turn the lever that makes the water raise in that room before the big room, basically. Yeah. So by being able to walk through the ledge, you don't have to go into that room with the pegs anymore, and you don't have to raise the water. So already you've saved a bunch of time. So, like, that's great. On top of that, if you want to, you can go grab that key that's in there and then do Specky Clip. Now you have a free key that you can use over on the left side of Swamp and probably other things, which is what I'm kind of about to hand over to the two of you. So you can potentially get a free key. You save a bunch of time. Let's talk a little bit about, like, what do you now do with that extra key, and what are the implications for somebody's routing if you successfully steal that key and then do a Specky Clip?
So you don't steal the key right away. You actually go into Swamp first. You do the Specky Clip. You do Argus first. You can also do Left Side Swamp first, but I think people won't do that as much now, because the whole point of doing Left Side Swamp first was that you had a key to work with to do Left Side Swamp faster using Dive Bomber. But now you can save that key for if you decide to go back in to do Left Side Swamp, then you grab the key and you do Specky Clip again. And it's still faster than anything else you could have done.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. So now it's like, you do Specky Clip, make a mad dash to the back.
Yeah.
Depending on the items that you got or didn't get, or how much more of the map you have available to you, make a judgment call of, do I want to get in there and do Left Side Swamp? That southern room, you still do that, or would you save that for another dip?
I've heard people say various things about whether they're one item from go mode and so on. Mm-hmm. Doing Left Side Swamp first is still faster, but it's also doing Left Side Swamp and you're hoping you just don't do it at all. So if you know you're going to do Left Side Swamp, you do it first. But if you don't know, you have a little bit more excuse to put it off. You still have to convince yourself to go back in and do it, but it's a little easier to convince yourself now that you have a key to work with and it's not nearly as terrible.
This is going to
be like an IPPJ situation where after Icebreaker is found, you have a new generation coming in that haven't prioritized learning IPPJ like the rest of us did before that was discovered. That's going to happen with the diver down on the Left Side Swamp side, where it's going to be like, oh, no, I didn't practice that. Why would I practice that? It never comes up, but like, it will come up every now and then. So. But no, I'm just so used to doing Left Side Swamp every single time. I can't remember the last time that I skipped it since that diver down was discovered. So that's going to really mess with me the first few times. If it is legalized, I should say. So the deal with glitches is, once they're discovered, they are all illegal until reviewed by the Racing Council and they weigh in on them. So, Dante, can you tell us anything about where this glitch is at from a Racing Council perspective?
No, I can. We have been doing a lot of discussing. Some of the council members have been participating in the channel known as Racing Talk. Some of it has been productive. Some of it from people has been text form. That's it. And we've kind of weeded through some of the discussion to find like some of the really high talking points, things that are really interesting, things to consider while voting on this. So everyone's under the assumption this is going to be legalized because it's just like Harrapot. Well, sure. But at the same time, you know, we want to consider the meta. We want to consider the health of the game. We want to consider the health of the competitive rule set. And that's kind of why we're taking our time with this. That's why nothing's happened yet. What I can tell you is that voting has begun. Due to our bylaws, we have a 7-day voting period. There is going to be a little bit of time after this episode comes out, so there will not be a resolution. But voting is underway. I can say that much at least. And I would say expect an announcement from either myself, Amerith, or Sir Linkalot, the three leaders right now, in the next couple days from the episode release. As far as maybe by next weekend, we can have an announcement out as to is this legal or is it not legal? And then maybe a little bit of why attached to both of those. So I'm really kind of putting myself out there saying with a little bit of why on it. But I'll say that we've had a lot of back and forth. The council is discussing things back and forth. And I think a lot of great minds have a lot of great opinions on this too, as far as like the competitive rule set. I really like it. I'm going to be honest, given everything we've done, I really like the glitch from a personal aspect. I think it's really easy to do. I think it makes for very interesting routing, especially in an entrance mode, especially if you find swamp before you find your hammer, but you have everything else, you know, 5 minutes later you find your hammer and then swamp's the most inconvenient thing to get to. You know, it can make things a little more interesting that way. But yeah, it's I'm going to put myself out there. I kind of think I want it to be legal, but I don't know if the council wants it to be legal. So we'll see.
Wow. I just can't, you know, from an outsider's perspective, when you watch the glitch being pulled off, it's a sort of specific where you stand bomb jump, which I mean, that's every bomb jump, right? You have to stand in the right place. Maybe there's a little bit of movement after planting the bomb, and then there's a hook shot, and then you walk through a wall. It looks very much like so many other minor glitches that we've seen. It doesn't seem like there's anything too crazy or game breaking going on there. I can appreciate the perspective of wanting to respect the meta, but even from that standpoint, it doesn't feel like there's a ton of, it's not exactly going to rock the community, you know, if it's
feel like pushed it through. It can
really
rock. I feel like it could, mainly because like I use this description talking to someone about this. This has kind of been like the holy grail clip for a long time. You know, maybe because I'm not part of the glitch community that I can't really, you know, maybe that's not the best term to put on it, but like, finding a way to bypass the hammer and swamp has been kind of like, I think, on Glitch Hunter's list for a while now, and now we have it. So now what do we do with it? So like, I feel like this is more game breaking than Diver Down and Icebreaker both were. Like, this just feels, this feels kind of incredible that we finally found this.
I don't know about Icebreaker. I think Icebreaker had a bigger impact on the way people route ice than this will have on the way people route.
Yeah.
That's fair too.
As far as routing, I guess like this completely, the way I worded it to someone is this is the first time in not Ganon's Tower. Cause I know Ganon's Tower is a thing, but as far as like swamp being a pendant or a crystal, this is the first time we've actually had an item that completely bypasses a major logical implication. And there's the argument like, yeah, you could say, well, Dante, there's fire and Tower of Hera and we can block, like get past that, which we've been bypassing fire for a while. So that's true, but it's also been kind of numb to me as far as like thinking of that. But and I guess that is kind of the same implication, but bypassing the hammer feels like a huge deal. This is kind of like if you could find a very consistent way to clip into the rail in Palace of Darkness, and I know there is one. Malmo knows.
No, like, it's terrible.
It's terrible.
You are so lucky that it has a teleport and that it's a major glitch just for that alone, because it is terrible. I'm dreading relearning this thing for the HMG tournament. I probably won't, to be honest. Because but you get those seeds where it's required and you're just like, or not required, but where it's like advantageous to do it. And you're just like, oh, God, really?
Yeah. But like, if there was a way to clip into bypassing the hammer for Helmasaur, like that would be huge too. So
yeah,
I don't know, man. Like, we'll see what the council says as a full unit.
You know, the thing about being able to skip the hammer requirement for one dungeon is that you're not getting away from having to find that hammer eventually to beat the seed.
Are you sure about that? There's been discussion. So there's an off chance that you get the right amount of pendants and then you get a GT big key not on left side and then you never need the hammer.
What?
So it would be something like the pod, like the pendants would have to be pod and Hera and ice, I think.
Okay.
Pod Turtle Rock ice. Pod Hera ice.
I said Hera. Inverted. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. But that's true for inverted though. So it can still happen.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I said Hera. I meant Turtle Rock. I'm so stupid. But yeah.
What an idiot.
Like I know. What an idiot. Yeah. Three so beers before you record and this is what happens.
You're so hard on yourself.
But but yeah, no, if those three line up and then you get a key on right side or like hope room, then you never need to find a hammer. And I got to say,
wow,
that's kind of hilarious. Like, I don't know.
That blows my mind.
Yeah.
I'm so used to like, oh, obviously you need the mitts and you need the hammer. Like, but kind of like when we did that exercise of like, what's the least amount of items you could have and beat the seed. It made me really think hard about like this dungeon. It's these items. This one's and it just never occurred to me that hammer is only four dungeons basically. And by being able to, you know, bypass the hammer requirement for swamp, you now could beat the game without the hammer. And man, what a day that'll be when somebody does that. In a race.
Somebody is going to be so salty. But on top of that, like this just reminds me of back when we got V31, you know, back when I was a wee young lad, and the dark rooms became in Logic, and then you were allowed to have the lamp be in GT due to certain layouts. And, that's kind of the feeling I have here. A little bit.
It's going to really catch some people off guard. Yeah.
Yeah. But just remember, they're not putting this in Logic. They're putting this in maybe in the rule set. You're probably going to find the hammer anyway, because you need the hammer to get things like, you know, going to Death Mountain often requires hammer, you know, so it's just really unlikely that even if you get that unicorn seed, that you're not just going to stumble on a hammer. It's probably your Dark World access for crying out loud.
Yeah. So I put myself out there and said, I kind of want to see this. Temp, how do you feel about this?
Oh yeah. Bring it on, baby. Like I was saying in the last episode, we haven't really had a shakeup in the meta in a long time. And this is really exciting to me. You know, I can't wait to see if it is, you know, approved, how it's going to change, you know, the way that people route swamp, the way that people approach the hammer location, you know, which I hadn't even considered before, but yeah, no, I love it.
And I'm going to assume that since Malmo is a glitch person, that you're just like, whatever, because you don't race competitive stuff, right? So except for the glitch tournaments.
It still impacts overworld glitches because it's an underworld glitch. If you ban it, it's banned in overworld glitches.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
see, I've never considered that.
It does affect us. But also, if it's banned, there will be a lot of litigation about the glitches that were allowed.
I'm scared about that.
Or very similar in terms of meta impact. I am simultaneously not looking forward to and also kind of looking forward to taking out the popcorn on that one. But if they allow it, then it'll be fine.
Yeah.
People learn it. It's easy. You can learn it in 1 minute. You can learn it by watching someone. You watch someone do it. You can just copy them and you've done it. That's how easy it is.
So wild that we just found this just now, or this Specky, you know, just found this. Credit where credit's due. But yeah, I love it. I love the shakeup, and I'm excited to see how this all plays out. Do you want to take the next one, Dante? Because I know this was one that you were excited about.
I'm pretty excited about this. So the NMG League is back for season 4, but with a twist, as they say. This is going to be the vanilla ALTTPR preset. So it's not NMG, but it is. You get to play your own custom sprite. You get to use quick swap. You get to not have text boxes, thank God. And you get to game a little bit. So the NMG League Season 4 is going to be taking place. Qualification rounds are June 9th through July 1st. They've already been underway. You can go sign up by joining the Discord and getting a run in. ZSR is going to be handling those restreams. We'll have a link to the Discord. And I want to drop this here. This is not on the outline. Sorry, Tim, but I'm dropping this because apparently I've been watching Telethar and Airy have a discussion about rerouting pod. Okay. I'm gonna just kind of throw this out there. And this has kind of been unfolding today, and it is the most cursed thing ever. So basically you go left side, you know how pod works. Uh-huh. You go left side, you get the key. Then you go to the middle, but instead of dropping down, we're going to now hover to the right side and get the small key from the ledge and the ledge or and the bridge key. Mm-hmm. So then you mirror, get your big key, run to the back. Then you're going to hover again and you're going to do the Yuzu clip where you get the big, like from, I believe this is either reverse boss order or Malmo maybe can correct me on this, but you hover in a specific speed run to a spot and you can open the big chest and then walk back off into the pit.
All dungeons RMG.
Okay. All dungeons the world RMG.
Record, the world record does that because you're in cave state and you can't mirror. So the only way to progress without saving and quitting is to either go all the way through the dark maze and exit out that other door, which takes forever, or do what you described and hover back out if you're good enough. Or if, you know, you somehow drop that hover, but not the first five, you just fall in the pit.
So you fall in the pit in this because the bridge falls. So there's no way to really hover back. So basically it saves roughly, I'm trying to get the little bit of info on this. It saves about, I think, like 5 to 6 seconds. In pod.
Wow. Damn. So of course it does.
It's like very cursed, but it's very experimental. And I'm sure like some of the higher end, imagine getting, this was like the discussion that some people were having. Imagine getting zero blue balls, right? And now the pressure's on to do Dark World. And now you got to do these insanely precise hovers to save another 5 seconds. So I'm waiting to see how often we see like Airy and Eddie, Kauta, I believe is their current Twitch name, like go for this. We may see that world record come down yet again.
might see people bring it out in the races, which would be pretty mean because you can't just reset a race.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And NMG League is the perfect time to do that because it's like, well, I got to do everything I can. You know, I beefed it on this boss, you know, 30 minutes ago. So everything you're saying sounds impossible. I think 5 years ago, I would have said no way. But at this point, I've just seen enough GDQs. I've watched you race. Yeah, I've seen so many impressive feats of gaming that I would not doubt that somebody could bust this out in an actual attempt. Like I'm sure it'll happen. You know, it seems crazy, but
the thing is, what's impressive about it is like, I don't feel like the hovers are hard, but I feel like what's hard is getting the hovers and also being time efficient because, you know, depending on how your hovering like form is on the controller, it may still be a little slow. Like it isn't an auto time save. So it's like if you could find a way to do it quickly, I think it's going to be pretty impressive to watch. Mm.
Well, if anyone, by the way, races are going to be restreamed on ZSR generally, and the tournament starts July 3rd. There's actually a qualification round going on June 9th through July 1st, which is right now, if you're listening to this presently. Mm-hmm. If anyone sees somebody go for this, go ahead and drop us a link because I would love to check that clip. Yeah, please clip it and share it with us. I think that'll be fun to watch. Whether they're successful or not, I just want to see the attempt. I think that's awesome. Cool. That's NMG League Season 4. We'll be looking forward to that. I think it's super cool. They're going with the ALTTPR preset. Like you said at the beginning, it seems like all benefits, no drawbacks pretty much. So that's pretty sweet. Yeah. So we had another tournament announcement in between last episode and this one. This one is for Cross Keys. So registration is open now. The first round will start June 28th. I couldn't tell if that meant registration goes until June 28th. But I assume it's still open. If you're interested, you should just go ahead and register now.
You're entering that, right, Tim? I think this is your favorite mode.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm going to be entering this one.
Okay.
And the next one.
Which we'll get into.
Yeah. The HMG. Yeah. 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 I'm all over all these weird ass tournaments. You guys know me so well. So yeah, Cross Keys tournament. We'll have a rules link in the description, and I don't really have a whole lot else to say about that except good luck to everybody who participates. Do y'all have any, did you like thoughts on the rules or predictions, anything like that?
One thing to note about the rules that's going to be really interesting for accessibility, they are changing 100% items in the logic to 100% locations. So this is going to potentially alleviate having a key locked key. So you'll be able to read the logic a little clearer, I guess. As far as like if you're a participant, and it seemed like the Cross Keys enthusiasts are very excited about that. I know a lot of people were asking for 80 keys to take on the same form of 100% locations. So this may be kind of like a time in the community we see things shift a bit as far as that goes. Because key lock keys, you can never really, like, there's no way to determine that by like understanding what's happening around you. But if it's, you know, if it's guaranteed to be somewhere else, then you can potentially start sniffing logical implications out more. But that's like the biggest, change for the Cross Keys tournament this year. They're still doing Swiss. They're still going to be going into a bracket, and, yeah, it's going to be fun to watch.
Malmo, who are you rooting for?
Who am I rooting for? I don't even know who's entering. Okay. I'm rooting for the HMG tournament.
Okay. Well, that's a perfect transition. Go ahead and tell us about this HMG tournament that was announced on Sunday.
Okay. So the HMG tournament, Hybrid Major Glitches. We ran one of those in 2021 and it was fairly successful. 2022 as well. We did no logic. So every other year, this is my ideas. Every other year we do no logic or HMG so that everybody gets the chance to play their, you know, favorite main glitched racing mode. Now, we also just ran a glitch mentor tournament that taught people up to HMG. So most of those people haven't learned no logic except for the ones who decided to keep going and trying other things. So those people now have a tournament to join. So I highly recommend if you are in the glitch mentor tournament and you enjoyed their time there and you want to try racing your mentors and your fellow mentees and the glitched gurus from 2018, this is the time to do it. There will be async qualifiers. It's very simple. This isn't going to be using the Synax system. It's just a simple play. Two of the three seeds assigned to you. There's three, so if you have tech difficulties, you can play a third. And then a very simple linear seeding will be done for a double elimination bracket. Last year, we didn't do any seeding at all, and I got some feedback about that and decided that some seeding was necessary. So this year we will have some seeding. The double elimination with format was a lot of fun because there weren't that many of us and you got to play more of your fellow racers than you would in a single elim.
So is this best of threes and double elimination as well?
Yes.
Awesome.
Now, if you just got here and you don't know what Hybrid Major Glitches is, it is Overworld and Underworld out of bounds clips. So there's nothing too wild. We're not breaking doorways. We're not moving between like whole dungeons, except for in a very few select cases. But when we do, it does change the logic a lot. It's a lot of fun. If you haven't played it before, I recommend that you just watch the races and get a feel for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you were in that HMG mentor tournament or the glitched mentor tournament that included some HMG, like what was the point if not to join in on the fun, you know, of these tournaments when they finally pop up?
Well,
So
if you're like me, then you're just like, man, I haven't used any of this knowledge until, you know, since the tournament ended. But it's a good time to, you know, get the chip away at that rust and, you know, see what you could do. Cause you know, these tournaments, I love watching these when they're restreamed, like just kind of having them on because like, it's just, it's so open. You just kind of do your own thing. There is logic, obviously, but like you just do your own thing and hope for the best.
Yeah.
And good Specky stuff. Clip is legal. So if you wanted Specky Clip legal and it got banned, you can join us at H&G and do it all you want.
Love that. Yeah, that's great. Just in case, on the off chance it's not made legal, then this is where you go to get all your Specky Clip in. Yeah, perfect. Cool. Okay, so last thing we want to touch on here is just a quick check-in on main tournament and Challenge Cup. Not a whole lot to say other than just, you know, another huge shout out to Adirondack Rick for coming on the podcast last episode to recap some of the matches and give us some sneak peeks at some to watch. It's definitely helped me feel a lot more invested in, like, you know, the names that I'm seeing coming through these, even if I'm not able to watch all of the races, just even checking into the challenge, being like, ooh, this person was eliminated. Like I know that was, you know, or this person was an underdog and they're still in it, you know? So,
I gotta say, great. Like Rick, listening to that episode, like not being a part of it, Rick is so good at just, I hate to put it this way, but he's so good at his job. Like just selling, hyping up, like being the guy talking about a match that's upcoming or happening right now. He's just so good at his craft, and it was really a pleasure to go back and listen. You know, it was a pleasure to listen to you, Temp, and Herf, obviously, but you know, hearing him hype up these matches was really awesome.
Yeah, it was great. That one was a lot of fun. This one's been a lot of fun too, though. You know.
Oh so. Yeah. I'm having a great time.
Yeah, this is, I like the energy when we're all at least one beer in. This has been a fun one. Sunday night recording. Let's go. So with that, figured we could maybe just go through and just list off the top eight for each one because we are there right now. As just kind of a quick update, who wants to read off our main tournament top eight as of right now?
I could do main tournament, and then we can let one of you guys, I guess, do Challenge Cup if we want to do
the Challenge Cup. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So right now we have Schulzer versus Brad Kuhn, Artie Walsh versus Lin, CS Tutor versus Gammon's Gone Wild, and 2C versus Ninjimbro. So we've got, that's our top eight. And I got to say, it's awesome. I know early on we talked about this, like Obscure got knocked out. They were the only, I think, only defending champion still in the tournament at that point. No, Jet was in it as well. And Jet got knocked out in round one as well by Spleeby. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a new main tournament champion yet again. Now, Schulzer was runner up last year. So Schulzer looking to make another run, maybe claim the title this time. GGW has been on a real hot streak, winning league and then winning the Casual Boots Invitational. CS Tutor is a name that's been around for a while now, winning a lot of ladder titles. So, you know, don't sleep on him. 2C, very good runner as well, making it to top eight. I think this is their first time being in top eight. I could be wrong, but I know they're doing really well. Ninjimbro was also in the finals against GGW for that Casual Boots Invitational. So continuing that momentum, going to take it to top eight here. Lin has been around for a long time. Lin. And a solid player for many years at this point. And in top eight versus Artie Walsh. Artie Walsh is one of, I think Tempest said, one of his favorites in the community. Just a really great person and a great runner. Yeah. So that matchup's going to be great. And I mentioned Schulzer already, but Brad Kuhn going to be playing against Schulzer. And Brad Kuhn was, I believe, a mentor or a mentee last year. Is that correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And and also like just been like diving headfirst into the community, you know, learning ins and outs and, you know, doing really well, knocking out Radical Sniper and Radical Sniper and Humbug recently. Yeah. So... nope, I'm reading that wrong. My bad. Humbug and Mr. Ed.
Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
I'm looking at the bracket wrong. Schulzer was the one who knocked out Jesse, Radical Sniper. But yeah, like, you know, they're on a tear. So top eight looking really good. It's going to be really exciting, I think.
I want to shout out Brad Kuhn for simultaneously being in the Mentor Tournament and the No Logic Tournament.
Oh, wow.
such a wide range of interests. You know, both of them are ALT-TPR, but like could not be any further away from each other on the lawful, chaotic polarity spectrum. I love that. yeah, I think you've summed it up really nicely. I just a couple thoughts that I had is looking at Ninjembro and the people that they have had to eliminate in order to get where they are is just really, really impressive. So definitely be looking to follow them. And yeah, Red Coon, like you said, you know, to go from mentee to top eight, no matter what happens from here, that has to be some sort of record. You know, I don't know for sure, but it's a wild improvement, you know, to be a mentee to go to top eight in main. So that's absolutely awesome. Cool. Okay. So that's your quick main tournament check-in. Well, we've got a little bit more time here, so let's take a quick look at the Challenge Cup. I'm stalling while I get there. Okay, here we go. So we're not quite at the top eight here, but
we're close.
Generally, we are. Yeah, we're very close. So we have Kaysden and Specky Specs. And then we have either Darkened Sky or Iceman F1 versus Yukikaze. We have Adirondack Rick against Alex Jazz 2. And then Nux versus Mike Mechanico Pie. Is that like from an anime or something?
I don't know, but I was told I said it correctly one time. I'm hoping I'm still right. And nice. They were surprised. Like some people were surprised that I said it right. So
Mechanico Pie.
I've seen their name around a lot. They've been around. They've been doing a lot of good stuff. So I'm not really surprised to see them in top eight.
Nice. So, yeah, we're basically at top nine right now. I think we've even advanced since I looked at it this morning to put together the outline. So moving right along in the Challenge Cup. And obviously, you know, cool to see Adirondack Rick still in it after we just, you know, talked with him at length last episode. So cool stuff. Very good. Any final thoughts about either main or Challenge Cup before we get into GMP community updates? All right, let's do that then. All right, so of course we are into the Mentor Tournament. Week one has just wrapped up, so we are in the thick of it. Wanted to address something that was left in the Mentor Tournament channel of our Discord. It was posted from a racer, and essentially what it was saying was that they wanted to drop out of the tournament. And it was sort of a long message. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm not even going to generalize the whole thing. But they mentioned a few phrases that I think if you were to just kind of glance over were probably sort of alarming. They said, I became the victim of an open hate tirade. So obviously that's going to raise a bunch of red flags, you know, for any admin team. We take those sort of things very seriously. And just to take a kind of a quick tangent here, this is something that's always sort of been in my mind as an admin of the Mentor Tournament is the fact that we're basically inviting a lot of strangers to get together and interact with one another, which is always sort of dicey, right? Like we can't make any guarantees about what somebody's going to say or how they're going to treat another person. And it's concerning, you know, like I want more than anything to provide a safe space where people can just focus on Rando and this thing right. That we all love. And that brings us together and not be hateful or exclusionary or anything like that. You know, reading a message like this, to get back to that, definitely, you know, was a little concerning. We did some research. Essentially, this person, again, I'm trying to be very general, but I want to inform people kind of what's going on, had a person that was sort of harassing them before they joined the tournament and just kind of coming into their chat while they were streaming and being disrespectful and rude and things like that. And what happened is this person, while they were racing, started being disrespectful towards that person's mentor and that person's opponent and the opponent's mentor. And so the racer at that point made the decision to say, okay, I don't want to expose other people to this random person's, abuse. So I'm going to bow out of the tournament. So that's what happened. We did a little bit more research and we found that this other person that was being accused essentially is also a racer. So don't love that. But where we're at right now is this person, again, the original person that left the message, has decided to leave the tournament, voluntarily. We reached out to them to try to get more information about what exactly happened. They have not responded. We've reached out to the other people involved. None of them have been able to give us what we would need essentially to take action, which is some sort of evidence of this abuse happening, a screenshot or a recording or something like that. Without that, it's just sort of, it's really just one person said that another person said something. And while I don't want to say that I don't believe them, we can't just go banning somebody based on an accusation like that. So again, we're keeping all names very general here, but I did just want to address this because, again, I really want to make sure people feel comfortable here and that this is a welcoming environment. And while we can't regulate every single interaction that you might have with somebody while participating in the mentor tournament, we definitely want you to let us know if somebody makes you feel disrespected or unsafe or harassed in any way. And it would really be helpful if you're able to provide us with something actionable that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that this person did, you know, what they're being accused of, so we can take swift action. So
yeah,
not a super comfy thing to talk about, but definitely wanted to address that. I think it's, I think all the mentees and mentors and volunteers deserve that. And I just wanted to make sure it was absolutely clear, you know, what our stance is on this. So where do y'all stand? What do y'all think? Do you have anything you want to add, comment on?
I mean, it's unfortunate. You know, what's like been transpiring, you know, you hate to see that with a tournament based about like friendliness, being with, you know, being new and learning and just having a good time, like getting into the community. It doesn't really leave like a good taste in people's mouth, in somebody's mouth, so to speak. But, you know, unfortunately, that's maybe some of the things that happen. And maybe we can move on from that and keep trying to create a positive environment.
Yep. Malmo, are you good?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. All right. So with that out of the way, let's get into the good stuff. So week one, like I said, is complete. Just first impressions. Absolutely shocked at how many close races there have been in the first round. We that's why we do the asyncs, so we can see people going in the first round so that they're relatively close in skill level. Nobody's getting, you know, blown out, or we're at least trying to reduce those situations. And it seems to have worked very, very well. There's been, I would say, at least four or five races this first week that were decided within 2 minutes, something like that. So that's been really, really cool to see.
Yeah, I would like to address something regarding that. The close races and the fact that we try to be, I don't know, you could feel free to correct me and disagree, but I think that we focus more on being inclusive than on creating what people would consider like a balanced racing environment. If you want a balanced racing environment, join one of the other tournaments. This is all about learning. So if you have something to learn, even if you're really good at one part of it, like you're really good at routing, but you need work on your execution or vice versa, don't hesitate to sign up for the mentor tournament, because if we do decide that you are too good, we'll just ask you to be a mentor. There's no issue, but we do look very carefully, not just at the async scores, but also about every part of, we watch them race. We watch to see like, what do they have to gain from joining this? And is it going to be an appropriate environment for them to learn? And we take that decision very seriously when allowing people into the tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
I will say, for week one, for me, I did mentor two races. Temp took the shackles off and told me I could mentor.
You were like, how come hosts aren't allowed to mentor?
And I was like, told me what are you long ago about? That
no,
back in 2019, in 2019, when I wasn't a host, you guys said on the podcast, I think it would be bad if the hosts like blah, 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 like were mentors. Like I'm paraphrasing, but you did say that. Go listen to episode probably under 30.
What was that, like 5 years ago?
Yeah, I guess. All right. So that being said, anyway. I mentored two races and, you know, let me put this, like, I'm going to be very like open for a minute. Being on like league admin, being racing council, I get to see a lot of the bad. I get to see a lot of the like petty complaining, and it gets like with the community, it gets to be very taxing. And for once, I finally got to have a moment where it wasn't about winning. It was about someone succeeding at something and like them just having pure joy over they learned how to do something. And so I'm not going to say who it was because I didn't get the permission. But I mean, if you look at it, you could go probably go find who it was. But I had a runner who we were playing and we were on the route, like we were nailing it. And they said, by the way, I need silvers. I've never done silverless Ganon. And I said, oh, and that kind of took me back just a little bit because they were playing very well. And so that took me back and I said, all right, we'll just keep routing and checks, like just check everything on the way. We finally hit go mode except for silvers and we had a few crystals left and I didn't pressure them and they just said, you know what, let's go for it. And I said, all right, I will do my best to teach you silverless Ganon on the fly. Now, bear in mind, in the same race, they learned how to fake flipper to hobo for the first time and back from hobo into waterfall. So I was already feeling like I felt like I've made a difference for 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then we got to Ganon and getting to Moldrum 2 around that time, their opponent had finished. So like pressure's kind of off, but the pressure's still on for them because they want, I think they really wanted to do the silverless Ganon.
Yeah.
Strat. And so at that point I fired up my OBS and I started screen sharing and I'm like, okay, this is kind of the timing because it's really hard to talk about the timing of silverless Ganon if you're not seeing it. So I could talk about it a little bit while seeing it. They paused for a minute and kind of saw what to do. And then I just kept trying to coach them little by little. And I think it took about 15 minutes, but they nailed it. They started getting some singles here and there, and then they started getting doubles. And like, I was just like grinning the whole time. I was like, this is awesome. And then they finally killed Ganon and like, they were so happy. I was like, it was the most happiest. It was the happiest I've been in this game probably in like a long time. So
that's awesome.
I wanted to share that. Like that's some of the stuff that you get out of the mentor tournament. Like it was just really awesome seeing someone be happy about that. And like, it's an accomplishment because like, I remember the first time I killed Ganon Silverless and I was just like, bro, you can do this. Like,
yeah.
So,
what sword did they have?
They were on gold.
Okay. Yeah, that helps for sure.
Yeah. I think we found gold like top of GT. We were on tempered.
Nice.
Yeah. We were looking for silvers and apparently this is where it gets funny. This kind of shows how on the route we were. We left the silvers in C-shaped house, the Village of Outcasts. We never touched it.
Whoa.
So wow. Like, it was a pendant thieves and we just hit everything. So,
yeah. Here's the thing though. Do you think they would remember this race if they had found the silvers and just played normally? Mm-hmm. No,
nah,
not even if they won, they're not going to remember this race. They're going to remember this race because they learned silverless Ganon on the fly.
Yeah. Every time they do a silverless Ganon, they'll think back to that race for sure.
Yeah. That's I just wanted to share that. And that sounds like, oh, well, Dante's just talking about what he did. And it's like, nah, yeah, yes, but no, like, I don't know. It was one of those moments where it felt like the community is good for a second, you know, instead of all the bad stuff I get to see sometimes or the complaining and such.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. Let's see what else. Oh, so we're doing something else new this year. We're hosting some weekly group races. The first one that we had was last Saturday, but these are for mentees only. And it's just a group race of whatever, you know, the mode is of that week, getting everyone together and just having a fun group race. It doesn't count for anything. Nobody's, you know, recording it long term or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But it's just an opportunity to get a little bit more practice in and also get some exposure to this weird phenomenon that does occasionally happen in our community sometimes, which are these big group races. You know, we sometimes have for qualifiers and things like that. So if you're able to join in any of those, just be on the lookout. We'll do announcements for each one. They're at slightly different times. I think each week the idea is to try to, you know, make them a little versatile so that it's not the same time every single week. And if somebody has a standing commitment, they can never do it. So just be on the lookout for announcements for those if you're interested. We are trying to get more matches restreamed. Lumaga's been working really hard. Lumaga actually finished a restream guide that kind of takes the place of like the 2 hour long, lessons, essentially live lessons that, Amerith used to give just because, you know, who has the time for that? Like, it's really time intensive. So Lumaga put together this guide and I've heard really good feedback on it so far. So if you are interested in helping us restream, I'll put a link to that guide in the description of this episode and check that out. We would love to have your help. Also, shout outs to Amerith for making our new stream layout. We try to have a new kind of theme each year, just like usually a different area in the light or dark world. And this year has been Lost Woods / Skullwoods themed and looks really slick. So shout outs to Amerith for putting that together for us. Malmo, why don't you take this next one? We haven't talked much about this other than just you left the chat and I thumbs upped it, but I'm really excited about it.
Okay, so Go Mode Podcast Twitch channel has three emotes from back in the day when you could only have three emotes. You can a bit more than three now, and I was thinking we should have emotes that aren't just the three that we've always had, the Feels Bombos Man and the Timp Uncle. And as much as I love those, I think we should have some themed emotes focusing around, you know, the thing that Go Mode is known for besides the podcast, which is the Mentor Tournament. And I couldn't help but notice, as a fan of puns, a lot of people talking about manatees in the channel. So I'm thinking of making something manatee theme. If anybody has any ideas about what emotes you want to see, you know, there's a lot of archetypes. There's things like GG and good luck. But I also, you know, think a little bit outside the box. And if you think of anything that is, you know, more like on brand with Go Mode, let me know. And I can maybe think about making some emotes for Go Mode Podcast.
Yeah, I love it. I can't wait to see an emote of a manatee wearing a mortarboard.
Oh, yeah. No, that was definitely on the list.
Oh, my gosh.
That was the first thing I thought of.
Yeah. Learning. So yeah, the mentee manatee kind of in poised to become the new mascot of the Mentor Tournament and possibly even, you know, the whole GMP brand. So, you know, just yet another reason to sub to us on Twitch is to get some of these sweet exclusive Malmo created mentee manatee emotes. So again, really looking forward to those. Can't wait. Keep us updated on the progress. Anything else? Mentor Tournament? I know that was a lot. Anything we haven't covered?
Have we talked about the results of the Great Boots Camp that we did?
We haven't much. So we had the VOD reviews that were happening once per night. I heard good things about them. I heard good feedback. I can definitely put some links in the description for each one. I believe Zeitnix has been getting them bumped up to YouTube.
MVP.
For us. MVP. I gave him a big shout out last time. It bears repeating. But yeah, I will go ahead and put links to each of the 5 days in the description. And yeah, I heard they were very helpful. And the mentees got a lot out of them, and as well as chat. So
yeah. I thought they were a great success. And I've also heard a lot of mentors posting open offers to continue doing these VOD reviews on their own channels for anybody who asks. So if you want a VOD review done, why don't you put it in the channel, the Racer channel, with can anybody review this for me? I want to know yada yada how I could have done better and so on. Not guaranteeing that anybody is going to be able to pick this up, but I would be very surprised if nobody did.
Yeah. Very, very good chance somebody will take you up on your request and would be more than happy to review your VOD in a way that is not demoralizing, you know, in a way that is positive and respectful. So, yeah.
I really liked the format of having two racers, because one racer will have opinions about how they route, always skip left side swamp, always do pendant pod, always go into skull. Having two racers does a really good job of balancing out those, so that one racer can disagree with the other, so that you can figure out what's actually the things I need to learn. Not people's personal rules, but the actual important stuff that a mentee should learn. Don't worry about that meta stuff until later. Focus on what both of the racers are agreeing on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good advice. Yeah,
definitely.
So yeah, good call. We'll put some links in the description of this episode and get your VOD reviews in if you're interested. Very good chance someone will help you out. Or check these out. I think there's a lot to learn even just from watching a VOD review of someone else. So, check them out. All right, let's quickly go through biweekly seed. Last time we did that Patreon party from the ladder mode. Mm-hmm. What do we want to do for the next one?
I'm going to ask if Malmo has a suggestion.
Oh, no, you're going to get real effed up.
Okay.
From Malmo.
Okay. I'm kind of torn because I did just now hear that we might get a Specky clip ruling before the end of the week and then it won't matter. I was thinking of doing a Wopen 7-7 where Specky clip is allowed, but I've already created a async sheet for for people to test it. You flip a coin that decides whether you're allowed to use it or not. The idea was that the Racing Council could look at what people, say, and but not a lot of people have been racing those. So, I'm going to say hybrid major glitches if you ask me, but I understand. I understand that there's a lot of people out there who just want to play the game and not learn an entire mode. So I will actually defer to Temp and Dante.
All right.
Can we get away with doing like a half Plando type thing? And we've done this in the past where we want to encourage certain glitches.
I'm not making it.
No, so hear me out. Could you not, couldn't you make it so that the pendants are the ones we talked about earlier, right?
Ooh.
The hammer dungeons, and then put the hammer on the validation chest. Oh, sorry, you're not supposed to call it that.
It wouldn't work.
That won't generate.
Why not?
It's not in logic.
It's not in logic. So the game, we'd have to put it like beatable only, and there's a whole lot of temp. There's a whole lot of stuff we'd have to do to make that work. So I think we should
just have an open 7-7 where Specky Clip is allowed and just let people play with it.
Okay. Yeah, let's just say open 7-7, and if they want to use Specky Clip, go for it. No matter what the ruling ends up being, use it in this if you want to. Just if you post the time, make sure you put in the spoiler channel if you used the Specky Clip or not.
Yeah, and if it's banned, consider this your last hurrah, the last chance you get to use it before you start learning hybrid major glitches, where all the fun is at.
Yeah, and if it is, then this is your chance to figure out how to use it and learn it in a low key environment.
Yeah, perfect. You should use it if you're in Swamp with the hookshot. You should use it because it's faster. Yeah.
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cool. All right. Let's wrap it up. All right. So you can email us fetch questions at gomodepodcast@gmail.com. Remember when we called them fetch questions? It's been a long time.
Yeah. I had to laugh because Herf's not here to laugh.
Oh, yeah. He loves the Gmail address. Low rent. Can't even get a domain address. We're on Patreon if you want to support us on a monthly basis. It really helps us to keep these consistent, keep them coming out every 2 weeks, helps with the hosting and all that good stuff. Malmo, we had a fetch question last time. I don't know if you got a chance to... Actually, I do know because you were chatting about it right after the episode came out in the Discord. I wanted to quickly get your thoughts on, just to sum up the question, it was about... Are there other places one could potentially use spooky action other than Meyer basement? And you were chatting about it a little bit. So I wanted to get like a quick kind of recap of your thoughts on this question.
So the gist I got was that everything that you thought of has been tried already, but that doesn't mean that you won't find something if you try. We have had a lot of new glitches come out from really unexpected places, not just Specky Specs, but also some major glitches that came out from people we've never heard of that were meta breaking, changed speed runs. So don't be afraid to try these things yourself. If you think that you can use Spooky somewhere, try it. See if you can make it work.
Yeah, absolutely. That's true. Yeah. Why not? Why not you? Why couldn't you be the one that comes up with the next big glitch? You know,
Think outside the 7-7 open defeat Ganon box. There are a lot of modes out there, especially in the Dorando domain, where these things might actually be useful. That's where you should be looking. That's where the fun is.
I'm still working on that one.
Tim's favorite mode.
You said get out of the open 7-7. Oh man, that's tough.
You got to think outside the box. I know there's a lot of fun
to be had there.
You're not even thinking with portals, as they say.
Yeah. All right. So let's wrap this up. I think we have gone over most of everything we needed to say. Just, you know, we're on Twitch and YouTube. There's always links in the episode descriptions. By the way, if you look at those in Discord, you're not going to see them. But if you go to our website, gomodepodcast.com, if you are interested in following up on any of the links that we post, that's the best way to do it. I think also like in Apple, technically, it's a little like jumbled up, but you can actually follow the links there too. So just a little link tip for everybody. I'm trying to decide if we should do shout outs or not, because we are running pretty late.
I mean, my shout out is just going to be catching up. You guys talked about it. The tournament I was in, I had a good time. I'm going on vacation again with my family now instead of just by myself in a week. So I'm looking forward to that. That's it.
Sweet.
Can good I shout out? Can I shout out the bear cams?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, please.
Okay. Explore.org has just turned on its Katmai National Park bear cameras, where you can watch brown bears fish for salmon all summer long. At first, you'll be like, oh, cool, I saw a bear. By the end of fall, you will know all the bears by name, and you will be attached to every one of them and all of their cubs. And you will miss them when they go into hibernation, and you will eagerly await their turn next year. So join me in bear cam world and be just as obsessed with it as I am.
There's so many cams here. It's not just bear cam.
Okay, there's the bears. I found the bears category. There's like dog bless you, cat rescue. There's a lot here, but I think the brown bears in Alaska is the
There's actually a lot of brown bears in Alaska. There's like several cams.
Oh, yeah. Eight cameras posted at various points of the river where you can watch. I promise you, right now you're going to go and you're going to see a river and a waterfall and you'll be like, I can watch this thing and maybe see a bear once today. In July, you will turn on that camera and you will see 20 bears at the falls and you won't know who to watch.
Oh my gosh.
Holy crap. All right, let me just go ahead and add this bookmark real quick.
There we go. Yes, join me. Join me in all bear right. cam.
It's done. Okay, and my shout out is... This is better
watching Twitch chat usually.
Definitely way more like zen. My shout out is Domino's cheesy marinara dip and bread twists. this dish. So it's like an appetizer, right? It's like, I'll post a link to it.
I'm so dead. Pathetic. I can't.
but
it's not like sponsored this, content, by the way.
No, it's not. It's just what I like. It's my shout out, you know, it's like this, aluminum tray that has like a lid on it, and inside is just marinara sauce with like pizza cheese, and it comes like really hot, and there's these garlic knots you dip into it. I've never felt more like a little piggy eating food than I did trying this. It's like I'm just slopping around in it, you know, but like it's truly so delicious. So I have to shout it out. That's the cheesy marinara dip and bread twist from Domino's.
Awesome. That's probably the best shout out I've heard on this podcast.
I've honestly had that one in the hopper for about a month now. Just been waiting for the right moment to bust that out. So, well, all right, we got to get out of here. I hope you enjoyed the long episode. Malmo, once again, thank you so much for filling in, especially on such short notice.
Oh, yeah.
Really enjoyed having you around this time.
It was a pleasure.
All right. And on behalf of Malmo and my co-host Dante, I've been Tim. Let's go ahead and mirror out.